Chapter 2. A Bus Ride. I waited outside, not too far from the cinema, for about 10 minutes. Then she came out and started walking down the road towards the bus stop. She didn't look left or right, just straight ahead, her long hair swinging on her shoulders. She didn't see me following her, and when the bus arrived, she got on and went upstairs. I got on the bus too, although I didn't have any idea where it was going. By the time I got upstairs, she'd sat down in the back seat and closed her eyes. I sat down beside her, very nervous because I'd never done anything like that before, and said to the bus conductor, 2 sixpenny tickets, please. I thought she might be angry, but she only opened her eyes and smiled. The first real smile she'd given me all evening, and said, "Hello, stranger." Then she closed her eyes again. The only other person upstairs was an Air Force man in the front, reading his newspaper. I pulled her head down onto my shoulder and put my arm around her. I thought she'd push me away, but she didn't. She just made herself comfortable, as if she was in an armchair, and said, "It's not every night I get a free ride and a free pillow. Wake me at the bottom of the hill before we get to the cemetery." I didn't know what hill she meant, or what cemetery, but I didn't want to disturb her. After a little while, though, I started worrying. I didn't know where we were going or how I'd ever get home again. I didn't have much money either, because I hadn't expected to be going out with a girl. I began to feel in my pockets nervously, to see if I could find any more coins, and I woke her. She suddenly pulled my ear. "Stop it," she said. Listen, I said, I've done a silly thing. I took tickets to the terminal because I wanted to be with you, but I haven't got enough money to get home." "You've got legs, haven't you?" she said. Then I knew it didn't matter. She wasn't angry, and the evening was going to be all right. I cheered up in a second, hugged her, and said, "We haven't passed a cemetery as far as I know. Does it matter very much?" "Oh, there'll be other ones," she answered. "I'm not looking for a particular one." That was strange, but I didn't take any notice because I was thinking about something else. Should I kiss her before we got off the bus or not? I mean, it's a big decision, and I didn't have much experience with girls, but I heard the driver and the conductor downstairs saying goodnight to people getting off, so I knew the terminal couldn't be far away. It's now or never, I thought to myself, and I turned her face to me and kissed her. If I were poetical, I'd say it was a revelation. But I've never been good with words. Suddenly, the bus stopped, and the conductor called, "All out, please!" I wanted to kill him. She kicked me gently. "Come on, move," she said, and I followed her out into the street, half in a dream. We were at the end of a wide street with many deserted, unlit shops on either side. It looked like the end of the world to me. And in front of us there was a cemetery, with white railings and tombstones. "Heavens," I said, "is this the place you meant?" "Maybe," she said, looking round her vaguely. Then she took my arm and said, "What about a cup of coffee first?" I wondered what she meant, but it didn't seem to matter. I liked the idea of a cup of coffee and a sandwich.